What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Hoops with Kev Luke, man. Back at it again today, April 4th. Hopefully all you guys are doing well out there. I know it's been a minute since we last spoke. The NCAA tournament is almost over. We're at the Final Four. I know it's been a lot going on there. We'll definitely talk about that within the next week or so. But I got my guy Tyler back, who was on the last episode. Tyler, how you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Sad we're not playing this weekend. Man, it's always great being in a Final Four, but we'll be back.
Yeah, man. Sadly, the Boilermakers, they made it. They broke through. You know, I will shout out to Matt Painter. I'm not a big Matt Painter fan. Doesn't mean I don't like him. I actually respect him more than majority of the coaches in the Big Ten. I feel like they always give us a test. I feel like every year we play them, they always bring their A game. So definitely want to salute them. Hopefully they don't win it, but if they do, I still salute them regardless. But should be an interesting Final Four. I know everybody's talking about UConn being late and not arriving on time. That's a whole other discussion we're not even going to get into today. But we're going to stick with our Spartans, man, because it's been a lot going on. We literally, just as we getting on here, had some news break, of course. The timing is perfect, as always. But before we get into that, I just want to recap the season real quick, right? Obviously, we went into the year with super high expectations, you know, Final Four bust and things like that. We brought all our guards back, got Malik Hall back, and it kind of went south real fast, right? You had the James Madison loss. I think we started off with 4-5, if I'm not mistaken, before that Baylor game, and it was just rough. Finished 7th place in the Big Ten, squeaked into the tournament, thankfully, because we played such a gauntlet of a non-conference schedule, which we do every year, but this year it felt like it was crazier than ever when you see how the season ended. But just what were your biggest takeaways from this season, man, if you have any?
Wow. I mean, yeah, I hate to just quote, you know, coach on this, but we were just consistently inconsistent. You know, you saw it in stretches where, you know, we put on a show like we did against Baylor, and it just opened your eyes to see, like, what this team could be when, you know, when everybody's clicking. And then, you know, you see the stretches where, you know, you're down in, at Minnesota, and, you know, the last 6-7 minutes, you're that team. So it was just, that's what made it so hard watching this team this year. It was just like, 'cause you know how good they could be. And like I said, you saw it against Mississippi State, and you saw it for that first 12 minutes against North Carolina in the first half, where you, man, it was just like, all right, this was the preseason number 4 team. And then, you know, the next 8 minutes happen in the first half, and, you know, wheels fall off, and just was the story of the season. And, you know, roster construction wasn't, you know, great. Obviously, I think we were hindered by our front court at times. And then, I mean, but mainly it was your point guard. Like, you know, to be a point guard at Michigan State, let alone you're a fourth year point guard at Michigan State, and to have that type of senior year, it just can't happen. And and I think that was a big reason for a lot of the struggles. You know, we missed that floor leader. You know, when things were going great, AJ Hogard was great. His, you know, his morale was up. You know, everybody's involved, everybody's having fun. But it's being a point guard at Michigan State is about what you're going to be and how you're going to act on the court when things aren't going great. And it seemed like AJ just wasn't great in those moments. And, you know, I wish him the best. It's going to be interesting to see what he does. I to sum up the year, it's just, yeah, it just wasn't consistent. You thought you were going to get better out of some players. And then maybe we can go segue into the players that, you know, that did hold us down this year. And, you know, when we sent them off the right way, you know, with Malik and Tyson.
Yeah, man, we can jump right into that, because I do want to salute our seniors, because, like you said, Tyson and Malik were on COVID years. So any other year, they would have not been back, and this season could have went drastically worse, right? Which is insane to think about, but that really could have happened. But as for the season, I agree with you completely, right? You know, the roster construction as a whole, I feel like me and DK talked about it earlier in the year, where I don't necessarily think we took the Joey loss for granted, but I don't think we fully capitalized and fully conceptualized just how good Joey Hauser was for us. Joey Hauser was the glue, right? He was the perfect dude that you needed. He spaced the floor. He rebounded his butt off. You can make a case last year he was our best rebounder.
Yep.
And he just did a lot, right? He wasn't the greatest defender, but he held you down in every other aspect of the game. And defense is never a concern because you're playing for Coach Izzo, right? So you can coach that up. But regardless, you know, for Tyson, for Malik, I just want to salute them real quick. And I'll let you take the floor first on that because, I mean, just both of them, honestly, both of them had their moments this year. I know Tyson had the injury. I know Malik went through a lot in his 4 to 5 years in East Lansing. So just what are some of your favorite memories from the both of them? And just talk to us about what they did for us this year too.
Yeah, I mean, Tyson, he could go on. I mean, I feel like if things could have been a little bit different, we would have, you know, made a Final Four in the last 2 years where he just really had it going. He would have been perceived a little bit more, you know, in the Spartan lore. Because he was that good. I mean, individually, he's one of the better guards you're going to see, you know. He did it all. I mean, when we needed a clutch bucket, he was there to answer the call damn near every time. You know, you can't help but think about the Purdue game where he hit the step back on Edie. He's had numerous moments where he, you know, has taken over the Illinois game at home when we lost. I mean, him, you know, that was his first year here. And that kind of showed you what he could be when he just totally took over late in that game. And it wasn't enough against Illinois and Kofi Coburn. But, you know, he's had a lot of great moments. You could go on. I just wish a little bit more would have been, you know, with his career here. I just wish he would have had a ring or a Big Ten championship to show really how good he was here. And then Malik, yeah, I mean, you know, his career has been pretty inconsistent. Yes, he's dealt with injuries. Obviously, he's got his dad has, you know, dementia. And that's not easy to deal with when you have a parent that you're close with, you know, dealing with that. And I think he's living in a home. And so don't want to make excuses for him. But that's, I mean, any 22-year-old kid dealing with a parent, dealing with, you know, an ailment like that is tough. So that had to have been weighing on him. And for him to put a season like he did together this year, I mean, he went out the right way. I mean, the dude was what he had two games, I would say, all year where he didn't bring it. Obviously, the one that we all know at Northwestern, the 0-0-0 game for him. And but other than that, I mean, the big games he played well. He had some clutch moments in the Illinois game at home. I mean, he was unbelievable in that second half. So, yeah, Spartan dog. But just another guy that, you know, very quiet guy. I do want to get back to the dog, the Brandon Dawsons, you know, and I think some of the guys in the current roster coming back have that in them, and it's predominantly the young guys. So all in all, Tyson, Malik, Spartans through and through. I salute them for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to miss the both of them. I was watching, you know, shout out to Spartan Hoops, shout out to DK, shout out to Trevor for doing great things. I was watching the Tyson full season highlights, and I was just like, oh, my God. When you see it, put it all together,
silly. Yeah,
it's like, man, what were we thinking just letting – you know, not fully constructing a roster based around this dude? You know what I'm saying? He was clearly one of the best guards in the nation, but nobody really noticed it because we had such a down year. But everybody expected it because of the expectations we had, right? Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. For Tyson, I'm grateful because, I'll be honest, I tweeted this out. When we first got him from Northeastern, I never expected him to be as good as he was, just being honest. Especially when you look at that first game that he played in versus Kansas at the Champions Classic, he looked like a deer in the headlights. And to be fair, you know, Izzo kind of threw him in the fire that year, you know, the Max Christie year, and he was forced to play point guard. And as we know, that just wasn't his natural position. And so it was a major, you know, trying to fix that thing going on there, but he worked it out. He became an elite scorer. He became a dude that you can put the ball in his hands. He can make a play whenever he wanted to off the bounce. You know, he has some nasty ankle breakers. He has some crazy finishes that we won't see for a minute, yeah. Right?
You elite know, defender too.
Elite defender. That's one thing I definitely didn't want to take for granted either because he was in the stands. I remember that same year when we played Duke and lost in that second round game, like he had a couple of plays where he was guarding Paolo and he stood tall and held his own. And I'm like, man, we can't take that for granted too. So big salute to T-Walk. And then for Malik, I mean, man, you know, when he got here, that was Cash's, what, senior year? That was a year going into COVID. Obviously, we'll always remember that Seton Hall game, which was still crazy. That was an electric college basketball game for those that remember. I'm sure most of y'all will and do. You know, and just all the years, like you said, for him to deal with everything that was going on off the court and to still kind of keep it together on the court, you know, it was some inconsistencies there and it was some injuries there that I think, you know, slowly but surely derailed him a little bit and got him off track a little bit. But I give him a lot of credit for staying the course, continuing to go, you know, never taking games off and things like that too. So definitely want to give a major, major salute to Malik Hall. Now, that leads us into our next one, right? And that is the news that literally just broke as we got on here. And it's that Mati Sissoko is officially in the transfer portal. I got a few thoughts on this, but I'm going to just ask you, how do you feel about this? I know we're all wishing Mati the best for everything that he's been through. He lost his grandma. Originally, he's from Africa. He's from Mali, so he's already been far away from home for a long time. But I kind of feel like most of us seen this coming, but and I'm sure Izzo and staff will help him get to another destination that will help him out and benefit him in his last year in college. But how do you feel about this? And, I mean, do you have any idea where he could go, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, so I originally thought that he was kind of content and with his role here, because I'm pretty sure he knew what his role was going to be next year here, and it was going to be in some sort, you know, some shape of fashion as of a backup. You know, giving minutes like he did the last four games of the year this year. I thought he was damn good in those minutes. I mean, high energy, rebounding, blocking shots. I mean, you know, two buckets on Armando Bacot. Like, where was that all year long? And I know he was just up and down, and, you know, he had his grandma passing away. And so he was dealing with a lot of stuff too. So yeah, I originally thought it was going to be, and it still could be, a Jackson Kohler, you know, maybe entering the portal. I figured we were going to lose one. I'm pretty sure Carson is, you know, he's set in stone here. I mean, this is, you know, he's from Jackson, Michigan. I mean, this is a dream for him to play at Michigan State, being, you know, a zero star. And so I never really thought he was going to go anywhere. And then I just thought Mati was going to be content being, you know, that backup role. I mean, from all indications, NIL is pouring in good for him. He's able to support, you know, his community back home, you know, building that school and doing unbelievable things off the court. The dude is a, you know, just Spartan, you know what I mean? So wish him all the best. Where does that leave me? Obviously, we know we have to go get a center now. I want a starting caliber center. It's got to be. I don't see any other way, shape, fashion, or form of it not being a starting caliber center. And yeah, so Mati, I could see him, you know, why not Western Michigan? You know, we'll go link back up with Coach Stevens and go finish your career at Western, start there, and, you know, end it that way here in Michigan. And or maybe he goes back out west where, you know, he played some high school ball. Who knows? Wish him all the best either way, though.
Yeah, same thing. Wishing Mati all the best. Hopefully he finds a home that fits him. I kind of like to see him, like you said, back out west. I think he does fine in the Mountain West, honestly, for somebody, whether it's UNLV, Utah State, somebody. Definitely
well, he was really close to being at BYU out of high school. Mm-hmm. I believe he broke his hand during a visit or something. And I think BYU started cooling off on him, and that's when we started picking up and ultimately got his commitment. So yeah, I could see that for sure out west somewhere.
Yeah, I think he got into like an ATV accident, and that just things just went left from there. But regardless, though, again, I'm wishing Mati the best. And I want to say this real quick too, because I know he caught a lot of hell this year, right? Some of it deserved, a lot of it not deserved. But my thing with that is, if we're just being honest, and we talked about this the last time, he didn't play his first two seasons, barely at all, right? His junior year, he had to play because he just had to with the departure of Julius Marble, right? And other guys. And Jackson and Carson just weren't ready. They were freshmen. This year, he got, I won't say thrown to the fire because he's been there for 4 years, so he should have been ready at the same time. But from what we saw, with all due respect, he clearly just wasn't a starting caliber big man at Michigan State, right? That's just the facts of the matter. And that's not me trying to say that he sucks or anything like that. He just wasn't what we needed out of our starting center. And there's nothing wrong with that. It is what it is. Again, I'm wishing him the best. And so I want to transition that into, because, and I know we're going to talk about this anyway, but let's just go there for now. Because Mahdi is gone, what type of center do you specifically want? Because I'll tell you right now, I want somebody that is 6'10", 6'11", maybe even 7 feet, with a long wingspan that could just do the simple inside things like protecting the rim, being able to guard out when you're hedging and things like that, being able to run the floor, and just giving us a consistent post threat. Even if it's just 6 to 8 points per game, I'm fine with that because you're not going to need that much production. If you get that much production, if you get a big that can space out the floor and knock down shots, that's a luxury in my opinion, not really a necessity. But for me, that's what I want. I want a major big-time rim presence because when you look in the Final Four for the most part right now, obviously you have Edie. Obviously you have Donovan Klingon. DJ Burns is an anomaly because he's so dominant on the offensive end. And then who else is in it? Why am I blanking right now? Oh, Alabama. Alabama got some dudes, right? They're a little bit different. Nelson. Yeah, they're like undersized bigs, but they make it work, right? So I just want somebody that, especially in the Big Ten, right? Especially the last few years in the Big Ten, we've seen Trace Jackson Davis, Hunter Dickinson, Cliff Omoruyi. We've seen so many different bigs, Dawson Garcia even. I just want somebody that can hold down the rim and give us a little spark offensively, and that's it. So what type of archetype are you looking for? Because, as you mentioned, we're going to have to hit the portal to get a big.
Right. No, I think you nailed it. A 6'10", legit 6'10". Not, I know they have, like, Mahdi listed at 6'9". He's more 6'8". They have, like, Kohler listed at 6'9". He's, like, 6'8". Like, I want a legit 6'10", 6'10 and a half, 6'11". Yeah, versatile. Obviously, Tom and Michigan State basketball in general, we don't play drop coverage. So you got to have a big that can go get out on picks, hedge, recover. You know, you got to be laterally. You know, you got to be Xavier Tillman. I know it's hard to say be Xavier Tillman, but, like, the way he played that position at 6'8" is ridiculous. So just give me a guy, you know, 2 inches taller, Xavier Tillman, that who can defend, give you 10 and 6, 10 and 7. You know, I think that's all you can ask for, because then you got, you know, you got Book, who's 6'10", 6'11" down there, and, you know, he's going to be a rim protector. So you have that as well. But yeah, I don't, you see some of these names in the portal, and I know Eddie Lampkin of Colorado, he ended up choosing Syracuse. I got, you know, some buddies in a group chat that really wanted him. And I'm just like, that just doesn't fit the mold of Michigan State. First off, like, he's, you know, he's not a great defender. He, you know, he's going to be a drop coverage type of big. You know, he's not a great rebounder for how big he is. So there's to play the position here, you got to be mobile. It is what it is. It's just how Tom Izzo structures Michigan State basketball, always has, always will. So, yeah, I'm looking for a big who's 6'10", who's mobile, and, yeah, can give us 10 and 7.
Exactly. Let's just go there. We'll finish off with the coaching stuff, but let's just go to next year, right? So, obviously, you got the floor general coming back. You got your core nucleus, in my opinion, right? You got Jeremy. You got X. You got Cohen. You got Garrett coming off a red shirt. You got the freshman class. You got Jackson. You got Carson. You got to fill in some holes. Obviously, we know it. This is the thing to me is that because of what we already have, now it's just about tying in those loose ends via the transfer portal, right? As you know, right? And again, the nucleus is there. So you, for the most part, you know what you have, which I think is a blessing in today's age, because when you look around the country, a lot of coaches have no idea, you know, what they got coming back, who's going in, whatever the case may be. So I think that's a good thing. And we just touched on the big man. So as it currently sits, right, we already talked about the bigs. We're good on that. What else do you think we need? What do you think? Obviously, we contacted Javon Holiday. Why am I blanking?
Javon Hadley.
Thank you. Yep. My bad. Hadley. I don't know why I'm blanking right now. Javon Hadley. We just seen Trey Townsend going to the portal yesterday, the star from Oakland, Horizon League Player of the Year. Obviously had that big-time game where they beat Kentucky, right? Got to the round of 32. So I assume we're all thinking we need a big-time wing, right? Because we really haven't had that since Max Christie.
Yeah. And even then.
Exactly. So I like, that's my thing. My concern is that if we miss out on Javon Hadley, which is a good chance that we does, because Iowa State, they already got two transfer guys and they're trying to get more because they're losing essentially their entire front court. Trey Townsend is probably the next guy, but it's still other guys out there. So I don't think necessarily that the well is completely dry. But my concern is, being that our coach is Coach Izzo, is that if we miss out on our plan A target, we don't really know what plan B is going to be. And that's kind of been the thing. But I will say this too. The things that I did like and appreciate about Tyson and Joey, and yes, I understand the transfer portal wasn't what it was today compared to back then, but I like getting dudes that were going to be around for 2 to 3 seasons. I'm not really a big fan of the one-year rentals unless it's just like an absolutely perfect fit, which Javon Hadley could be, right? Which Trey Townsend could be if that's his situation. But I do like getting a guy that you can build with for at least a couple years, maybe not just 3-4 years, but at least 1 to 2, because you get some familiarity, right? You get to build up the chemistry a little bit more. And if we're just being honest, some guys need that extra year. For instance, we just talked about Tyson Walker, right? If Tyson Walker, that first year was a lot for him, right? Again, because he wasn't a point guard and he was playing point guard, and it took him a whole year to realize he's not a point guard. So what do you think we need? Because again, the nucleus is straight for the most part, but outside of the big, which we already touched on, what would you say is the next major thing that we got to get?
Yeah, I mean, it's a wing. It's a, and I'm with you on the, I'm not a big fan of the one-year rental either. So, but yeah, if it happens to be, it happens to be. But we, this roster needs a wing who can space the floor, who can rebound, get back to defending, and not just a wing, a big wing. Because Jay Nakins, he, let's just face it, he's not a wing. And we need to get back to that 6'6", 6'7", framed wing who can stretch the floor, maybe shoot 35, 36 from three. Go rebound, maybe can, you know, even operate down in the post here and there. Yeah, that's what we need, and at a starting caliber one too. I think that that's gonna allow guys like, you know, I think Garrett Norman can play the wing. Like, I think Kurt Tang could probably play a little bit of the wing here and there. And then yeah, I think Colin Carr, I mean, the guy, he's gonna be a wing at the next level. He's, you know, we can't assume that he'll be ready to play the three next year in starting minutes. So yeah, starting caliber wing. And I was looking at some stats of Javon Hadley and Trey Townsend, and you know, we're going after Hadley, and you know, Izzo even said it on the Drive with Jack yesterday that, you know, he went publicly and said, you know, we are going at, we need a wing. And you know, Hadley, I think, shot roughly 36-37% from three, very, very low volume. Well, Trey Townsend did pretty much the same thing at Oakland, within the same number of minutes. I mean, they're pretty identical numbers from three from both players. So, you know, you're flirting around with Hadley. I don't know why we wouldn't flirt around with Townsend. I just think you find a way to get Townsend in the green and white, and you make it work. You make the roster work, because it'll be better with him on it. That's a guy that can go rebound. That's a guy that can defend 3-4 positions. And that's a guy that's shown that he can stretch the floor at times. Now, if the guy wants to play at the next level, like I think he would like to play, he knows that that's what he needs to do in order to get there, is to shoot more consistently and more volume from three. So why not do that here in East Lansing? And, you know, you're close to home. Your parents can come here and watch you. And he's from Oxford. I know he grew up a diehard Oakland, you know, fan. I mean, I think both his parents played there. So this wasn't an easy decision for him to enter the portal. So I don't know. I just think you go scoop him up and you make it work, honestly.
No, I'm with you there. You know, and the thing too about it is, right, it's going to be a lot more names to enter, right? So sure. I do think, you know, it's good to kind of cast your net right now and figure out and identify the type of dudes that you want. But also, too, it's going to be some other options for you, but it just depends on how they go about it, right? So we'll see. I don't think they can really go wrong, honestly, but I agree with you. We just need another wing that can get his own bucket here and there. He doesn't have to be a top-tier isolation guy, but just a guy that, you know, can bail you out in certain situations, can knock down shots, can defend other big wings. Because that's the thing, too, right? When it comes to the AJ stuff, because yes, AJ had a rough year, but I will say defensively, just like Tyson, just like Jaden, they all had good years on that end for the most part. But you kind of put him at a disadvantage at the same time, too, because when we played other big-time wings, it was AJ and it was Jaden's assignment. It was Jaden's assignment basically because he was a good defender, but also because he was a three essentially for us this year. And it was AJ's assignment because physically he could match up better than any of our other guards, right? Tyson too, to a certain extent, but you needed Tyson for the other end, obviously, because he was our only true reliable source of offense. But when we went against Terrence Shannon, AJ Storr, Marcus DeMatz, for the most part, it was AJ guarding those guys, right? And so to me, if we can just get another wing, and especially I look at it too, I say the same thing. I know we hate Duke, but I feel like if Duke would have had a big time wing this year, we would have been fine. But you just look, or they would have been fine, excuse me. I never would claim that. But I say that to say, you look around the country, right? Dalton Knecht changed Tennessee's season this year. AJ Storr, whether people like him or not, Wisconsin was trending to be a top five team in the country before they went on that terrible losing streak, right? Yeah, he may have got selfish. Yeah, his circle, whatever, how y'all feel about them. But I'm not condoning that, but I am saying that he was really good for a large majority of the season. He gave Wisconsin an aspect of basketball that they haven't had in a long time, right? Harrison Ingram, we ran into him. He was a game changer for North Carolina this year. So I think having a big-time wing would have helped us out a lot. Obviously, that's not Malik's game. Malik is like a tweener, but he's more of a four than a three. So I think if we can get a natural three, would help out with a lot. And so I want to get back to the returners real quick, right? Because the biggest question really is, what is Jaden Akins going to do? That's the biggest thing. So what do you think Jaden Akins is going to do?
As far as what, returning?
In general, do you think he returns? Do you think he leaves? Do you think he... What do you think is going on there?
So also mentioned by Tom on the Jack show yesterday is he mentioned Jaden filling in for that Tyson role. So with that being said, I expect him back. Obviously crazy things can happen, but this is another kid that grew up wanting to be a Michigan State basketball player. He's from Farmington. He's from the state of Michigan. Like I have a hard time seeing him enter the portal, especially knowing that he's going to come back and he's going to play the position that he was supposed to be playing the last 3 years. So with that being said, the biggest jump on this team needs to be from him. He had an up and down year. We did expect more. I think he averaged a point more a game this past year than he did a sophomore year. He thought the jump was going to be greater. I will say this. It's hard for him to make it. I think it was always going to be hard for him to take the jump we wanted him to take with Tyson and AJ being so ball dominant. I know that Jaden got more opportunity this year than he did his sophomore year, but there's still something to be said about coming into a game or a season knowing you're going to be the man or you're going to be, you know, the third option. Because I honestly, he still had to be that 3-and-D guy for us this year because we really didn't have another guy to do that. So he had to play that role again. Now he has a new role next year. And he's going to go into the year and he should mentally be like, I'm the guy. I know as a basketball player myself, when I know I am the guy on a pickup basketball game, when I'm the guy and my teammates know I'm the guy, I tend to play better. When I know I'm not the guy, and I tend not to play better. It's the way I am personally. I don't know if that's the way Jaden is, but I expect him to take a jump. I'm not expecting a Denzel Valentine Jr. to senior year jump because that was wild. But I am expecting Jaden Akins to average 15 plus points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists next year. I am. And for him to, you know, look more comfortable doing it, especially with the ball in his hands. He's capable. And so he's my answer to next year as far as who needs to take the biggest jump. It's him.
And I completely agree with you. And I want to dive even further into that, where one of my biggest issues with this past season was, as I just mentioned, was I feel like the offense was literally do or die with Tyson and a little sprinkle of Malik, and then here and there we try and get AJ involved, right? I feel like Jaden deserved way more shots, and partially that's on Izzo, and partially that's on him for not being more assertive and aggressive, because we've seen when our season was on the line in the games versus Mississippi State and Carolina, Jaden looked like a star player, right? And we've seen that he was like the key. When he was playing well, it took so much pressure off AJ having to score. It took pressure off of Tyson having to be elite 24/7. It took pressure off Malik. Like, when Jaden was locked in, scoring, and aggressive, we looked like a completely different team. And so I agree with you. He is going to be the main key. And knowing that, for more than likely, he's going to be back and he's going to be in the situation where he can finally just be a shooting guard, I think everything works out best like that. And so I want to get into, what do you think the starter is going to be, right? Because me personally, and I've seen this idea floated out there, I think it's a great thing where you have Jeremy at the one, you have Jaden at the two, fill in the blank at the three, X at the four, and then fill in the blank at the five, right? And bring Trey Holland off the bench. Because I think if you bring Trey off the bench, it's no real drop-off from Jeremy to him, right? You can make a case Trey could be better, right, being that sixth man. I think having that backup point guard that you know is going to give you a lift is major, because it's going to be some games where your starters come out the gate and they're just slow. We see it every year. This year, it was the Iowa game, and we've seen it – we've seen it in years past. Or it's just always those few games where we just start off slow. Obviously, it was a reoccurring theme this year, but – to me, I think putting Jaden in that role and running some of those sets that we ran for Tyson, the little pin downs, the little curl actions where you can get him some momentum going to the rim, is going to be amazing. And one of his struggles has been that mid-range shot. I think the key thing with that is just his balance has been off. Like, when he shoots those shots, it looks like he's not in full rhythm, and it looks like he's leaning too far one way instead of the other way. So to me, I just think him knowing, as you said, him knowing what it's going to be, that he's finally getting the keys handed to him, should be a huge confidence thing. And then the last thing, he just got to get that handle right, right? It's not terrible. It's not like people are just picking him apart and just saying, give me his cookies or anything like that. But it's just, he just has to be more confident in where he's going, right? In college, we already know the spacing is very clunky. So you only have a certain amount of dribbles before the help side defense is saying, give me that, and going off for the races on the other end. But to me, I'm glad to hear that news. Obviously, you're way more tapped in out being out there in Lansing. So I'm glad to hear that. And I think that for Jaden and the rest of the team helps put a safe floor right now for this team. So I'm glad to hear that. But for the other guys, though, because obviously, you know, Trey Holloman was one of the brighter sparks, you know, this season. But let's talk X and Cohen, right? Because They had their moments, right? They both had some good moments, I thought, and they both showed some struggles, right? Both of them were not good at closing out this year. Both of them were kind of undisciplined, and that's what comes with the territory being a freshman. So I think both of them improving on that side of the ball would be amazing. I expect them to do so. I'm not saying they're going to be elite defenders, but just having that year of experience under their belt should be major for them. So what do you think is going to be the key things for both Cohen and X going into next year?
Yeah, you nailed it. Both of them, obviously, they have to put on weight, you know, and so obviously some muscle, especially Book. And he did a heck of a job doing that in season. And you're right. I mean, with the play that they, you know, with the time that they got this year, they should be fully ready to go, you know, going into next year. There's, you know, the defensive lapses that they had, we'll see those less and less, you would think. My thing with Book is, and this will help, like I said, he's got to put on weight, it's rebounding. I mean, there was a couple times in that Carolina game where it was just like, man, I mean, you just missed box out, you know, just not really totally dialed in on, you know, just gathering the rebound. I mean, the guy's got a 7'4 wingspan, and there was just times where he wasn't able to get the ball simply because he didn't put a body on somebody. And that's going to come with, you know, experience. So next year, I see him cleaning that up. But that's my second pick, is the biggest jump. The second biggest jump on the team will be from him. I mean, he's going to be, I think even Tom said it during the season, he's going to be a superstar. I just see it. I mean, you saw it in flashes against Carolina. I mean, he comes in and he hits a three in the second half when we're hanging on. I mean, that was a big three. I think it cut it to within three or four. He hit that little fadeaway about, I don't know, 12 feet away, just super smooth. I mean, you could just see the guys, he's got it all. He has superstar in the making. I mean, I would love to see him be here another year after next year. I just don't see that happening, but we'll see. But yeah, and then Cohen, yeah, it's got to be, living in the gym, working on that jump shot and on that handle and getting, you know, getting that handle tight so where he can make plays off the dribble. Mechanics wise, his jump shot's fine. I think it's, I mean, it's a little slower on the slow end, I guess, but like, it's fine. I got a buddy who's a shooting coach and I've showed him clips of him before he got on campus last year. And he's like, oh yeah, I mean, his form is fine. And I always thought it was too. I just needed that reassurance. So, yeah, I mean, those are two big things for those guys. And then, yeah, you kind of touched on Trey. Great jump from Trey. I expect even another great jump. I think there's the four guys I had. I know we kind of, try to recap everything with the guys that could take a jump. But Trey was another guy. With the jump he took, I see him taking another one, especially when Tyson and A.
And yeah, so I want to go to the big man real quick, because when you look at Jackson and Carson, I know it was a lot going on there, and I know both of them were, you know, they had their moments, right? The bigs, again, they were the most talked about, I think, through everybody in the season. But for Jackson and Carson, I think they're both different players, obviously, right? Jackson's a much more skilled offensive big man, and Carson's more just like a solid big that's going to do the dirty work and things like that. For Jackson, you know, you talked about the last time where, you know, the injury really set him back. And I think the biggest thing for him in missing those, you know, that those early games throughout the season, the biggest thing for him is, like, defensively, he's actually not that bad, right? He's not terrible. He needs to get his weight up and things like that, which I think will happen. I'm sure he'll be watching a lot of film. You could tell he loves basketball. The biggest thing for me with him is, honestly, I think he can be an elite scoring presence in the post. I firmly believe that. I just think the biggest thing with him is he has to learn how to master the basics before he starts to get to the advanced stuff, because the advanced stuff is his game. But in the college game, you got to be able to take what the defense gives you first and foremost, because they're going to give you something, right? And for him, you know, he would catch the ball and it'd be like he'd take a jab step, a pump fake. He'd do an up and under and then he'd miss it. And it's like, No, you don't got to do all that. Sometimes you just got to get the ball and put it up, right? Especially with the guards that you're going to be around, they're going to get you some easy looks. And so I think once Jackson masters the basics, his game is going to go to an entirely new level. Because once he gets to the basics, the advanced stuff is going to be easy for him because he's already mastered that for the most part. So I'm not really worried about Jackson. I just think stay in the lab, look at the film, and stay the course with him. And for Carson, it's the same thing for real. Like, to me, I think I told you the last time, I really just want, you know, this might be asking too much. This might be unfair of me to ask for him, but I really think, I don't even want to go to this extent, but I truly think that Carson Cooper can possibly have a Matt Costello type leap, right? And I'm not even saying it has to be to that extent, because Matt Costello was amazing his senior year, right? He was, I don't even know how to
explain. Yeah, that jump he had from his junior to senior year was really good. Really, really good.
Insane. So for Carson, I just want him to be a respectable post threat. I think that was it, because it felt like he does everything else pretty well, right? He defended well in spots. You know, he can rebound better. I think that'll start to click more and more as he goes into his junior year. But for Carson, it's just about becoming a solid threat in the post. So what do you think about those two both entering their junior years and the impacts that they could have for this 24-25 season in 7-8 months?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, with Jackson, he has to enter the year healthy. I think that set him back, you know, just getting a rhythm. I just don't really think he ever got one. And then, you know, the minutes just weren't there. And I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, his athleticism, you know, it is what it is. Like, he doesn't really have any, right? So you're right. He's got to do a better job when he's down low finishing, making the game easier. And it's going to be harder for him because of his lack of athleticism and his size in general. I mean, he's not a very tall guy, and he's a very undersized center. And so it is a problem. But I think a way to negate that is his mid-range. I think if he can start spacing the floor out a little bit more, he really struggled. But he's capable. I mean, the form's great. I mean, he showed in Moneyball, and I know it was Moneyball, but he showed in Moneyball that he can shoot the ball. So being able to stretch the floor, hit a 16-18 footer, I think will open up his game down low even more. And then he can go get to, you know, his bag, you know, on the block, because we know that it's very deep. So, yeah, and I think Jackson is also an underrated rebounder. I think he has a knack for the ball that, like, you know, Madi Sissoko didn't have. I think his hands are okay. But I also think that, you know, with the lack of time he got, he just never really got comfortable this past year. So I really need to see him with a full healthy season, going into a season healthy, and, you know, a bigger role, because he's going to – I see him having a bigger role. So we'll see what he can do. Carson, you nailed it. I mean, the measurables are there. He can defend. Wingspan's there. He has really good athleticism. Now it's about finishing at the rim. It's about getting something you can, you know, down low, getting to a little hook shot, because he really struggled at that this year as well. And then, yeah, rebounding, he was pretty hit or miss rebounding as well. But a guy who's that tall, 6'10 and a half, with that wingspan, with pretty good athleticism, should be able to rebound at a very high level. So I think that's in there somewhere with him. So, yeah, I like both. I mean, both of those guys, if those guys are your backup centers, I think they're fully capable of playing that role. And that's a damn good roster. Both of those guys are your backup centers.
100% agree, too. I think with that transfer big, too, he's going to push them. That's what you need. You need somebody that can push them, right? You need someone in practice where you know, hey, I'm going against one of the best big men in practice every single day. So I know when it comes to game day, it's nothing that I haven't seen already, right? Because, again, with all due respect to Madi, yes, he probably pushed them physically and told them, hey, go get in the weight room. But it's not like he's a Armando Bay kind of things like that, right? So, again, not a knock on Madi whatsoever. It's just about, you know, for instance, with your guard play this year, you know, with the guards coming in, they're going to get pushed by Jeremy Fears and Jaden Akins, right? They're going to get pushed by Trey Holliman, right? They're going to force those guys to get better faster and earlier. And that's the culture that we're used to with Michigan State basketball. And I feel like we've kind of abandoned that in the last few years. So I'm excited to get back to that and just thriving in that situation slash scenario. So I can't wait for that. I can't wait for those guys to all get in, click up, and do what they're supposed to do. I'm very much so looking forward to this team. But the last thing before we get out of here, because we did have some news that broke yesterday, and that is that assistant coach Mark Montgomery had officially taken the job at the University of Detroit. So that means right now we have a coaching vacancy, and it's a lot of speculation what is going to happen, whether Coach Izzo is going to stay in-house, whether he's going to go grab somebody outside of that. What do you think he's going to – two questions. What do you think he's going to do, and what do you think we should do?
Whew, this is tough. So this was also mentioned on Jack's show yesterday. He mentioned that there are 5 to 6 candidates. He's actually staying home this weekend. I guess there's a coaching clinic. I think that's in Michigan somewhere, that he usually attends. And he's not attending it this weekend because he's focusing on the program. So with that being said, pretty sure he said that 4 to 5, 6 candidates he's going to interview. I don't know which direction he's going to go. We tend to stay in house. We tend to stay with the ex-Spartan or who's been here before. And, you know, it's worked out in the past and at times it hasn't. I don't know. I struggle with this because I'm like, you know, I wouldn't mind bringing Tum-Tum back, you know. I don't know your thoughts on that, but I mean, he's doing a great job. I know he's at Bowling Green right now. He's been kind of moving up the coaching pedestal, and you know, that guy is the definition of a Spartan, and that guy, he can motivate like no other. He's been in those battles before. He's had success here. Obviously he wasn't, you know, the greatest player here, but that dude leaves it all on the court. And I think he can, you know, he can reach guys, you know, mentally, spiritually, and, you know, really motivate. That guy's just a really good motivator, and I wouldn't mind seeing him back on the bench.
I actually love that idea, too, because I've been following Tum's career path ever since he left. Obviously, it's funny. I was actually watching that Elite Eight game versus Louisville the other day, his freshman year in 2015. So I wouldn't mind that whatsoever. I've seen, again, he's been with Todd Simon, who was – a brief stint at Finley Prep, for those of y'all that remember that prep school, the big-time powerhouse out there in Las Vegas. Worked his way up. He went to Southern Utah, where Tum was at, with them for a minute. And as you mentioned, they're now in Bowling Green. So I wouldn't mind that either. I honestly don't think they can go wrong, honestly. I wouldn't mind if they stepped outside of the house just because I think you could use that, because the thing that I think we missed more than anything with both Dwayne Stevens and the OG Coach Garland was that they would visibly challenge Coach Izzo on the bench. And yeah. I'm not going to sit here and act like I watched every single possession of us. I watched the bench with Montgomery, with Coach Wojcik, with, you know, TK. But it just felt like they had that fire to them where it was like, if they sniffed something out that wasn't right, you would see them visibly clashing with Coach Izzo. And I think it was a good thing because, as we all know, the beautiful thing about Coach Izzo is that he allows that from his staff and his players because he wants to get their perspective. And I feel like we didn't really see that a lot this year. We might have seen it in a few moments, but it just felt like it was always Izzo going at them and not the other way around. And that was a concern to me because, again, those guys, they didn't really care. I'm not saying that our assistant coaches are yes men by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying I would really love to have a guy that can get in Izzo's ear and be like, hey, yeah, you see it this way, but I see it this way. And it's not that my vote has to outrule yours, because that's never going to be the case, but it's just I need you to hear me, right? And so
yeah,
I don't really think he can go wrong. I'm very curious to the candidates that you list, or the, you said it was what, 4 to 6, I think you said.
Yeah.
So I think that's very intriguing.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on, this is probably the longest shot of all long shots, Tom Crean?
That's the one I want, if I'm being honest with you. I didn't tweet yesterday because I was just trying to refrain from it. But honestly, that's the guy that I want. You know why? Because people can say whatever they want to say about Tom Crean. You know what he knows how to do? He knows how to develop and recruit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what anybody says, whether it was at Indiana or Georgia. I know Georgia, whatever, but he got Anthony Edwards, who you can make a case is going to be the face of the NBA in a minute, right? So, and he's not from there. He's not from the South, if right. I'm not mistaken. So, right. To me, I think he has that energy. And again, even though he's older, I still think he has that young energy that a lot of these assistant coaches and young up-and-coming coaches don't really have. And I think it's a spark there, especially because, you know, I watched a few weeks ago when they unveiled the NIT bracket. He was passionate about teams passing up that opportunity.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
Right? And so I'm like, I think we need some of that fire. I think Izzo's motivated too. I love when he said after the Carolina loss about how he said, we're going to make another deep run in this tournament or I'm going to die trying. Right? Yeah. I love that. That right there told me that, okay, he's locked in, right?
So how did you take that? What do you think he meant by that? Because I have a theory on what I think he thinks. I think there's a lot of people via social media that think something of that, but I don't. So what do you think?
To me, I took it as a great sign that not only was he disappointed by the season, but I just think for the past few seasons since COVID and since Cassius and X left, we haven't really been the Michigan State program that we've been historically. And obviously we've been dominant for a long time, right? It's like, that's whatever, right? But at the same time, sometimes you're going to go through your ups and your downs, your peaks and your valleys. And I think these past few years, I don't want to use the word disgusted, but he's felt like he's let down himself, the program, maybe his family, who knows. But I took that as a sign of, okay, he about to get in his bag. I truly believe that. Like, I think he because the thing about this offseason, as we mentioned, the nucleus, right? You have no other choice but to look in the mirror, right? Yeah. The only other thing you can do is say, hey, what do I have to do to be better? And I think that's been a great thing that I'll never take for granted with Coach Izzo, just like Matt Painter, is accountability. He always says, even when, you know, it feels like the players are missing shots, he always says, I got to do a better job of putting them in better situations. Yep. Right. And I think he's going to maximize Jeremy Fears. I think we're going to see the best out of Jaden Akins. I think the bigs are going to be rejuvenated. And again, as we mentioned last time, it's all about getting into that portal and just getting two guys. We just need two guys. It's not like we got to go in and get flip a roster like Alabama did or Arkansas did this past year.
That will never be us.
Exactly. And that's what I love about it, because I think that's the key. Right. And this is where I want to kind of end off at. When you look at UConn, and I know Kansas had a down year this year, but I think they have the formula too. It's about recruiting your guys still, like we have. And then it's about patching in the loose ends with the transfer portal. That's the key. You have to build up. With UConn, they got one transfer on that team that changed everything in Cam Spencer, who we saw last year at Rutgers, right? Obviously, Tristan Newton was a transfer, but you still had Alex Caravan. You still had Donovan Klingon. Stephon Castle, you recruited in there. So it's not like these guys are just going all out in the transfer portal. You can still get your guys, but again, it's just about, okay, what weaknesses do we think we're going to have? How do we identify that? What guys are out there on the board, which is plenty of them right now, and it's only going to be more once the Final Four and National Championship game are over. So I actually like where we're at. I know the fan base is like, you know, in a frenzy right now and kind of lost and kind of like, oh, we finally reached out to a transfer. But it's, again, it's not like we got to go out and get 10 dudes. We need two guys. And then after that, I think we have our pillars, right? We already know we're going to defend. We got to get back to rebounding because I think that's been a lost art for the past couple of years. And then we have the guard play. Get out and run the transition more and get the offense a little bit more balanced. We're right back where we need to be in the thick of things. That's how I feel. But let me hear your theory, though. My bad. I had to say that real
quick. No, you're good. I'm pretty much with you, but in a deeper way, I think the past few years he wasn't able to be that Coach Izzo pre-COVID with his players. How about the time he got in Gabe Brown's face in the tournament, or when he got in Aaron Henry's face? He wasn't able to do that the past few years. I mean, he says all the time, you know, society's gotten soft. I think he's gotten soft too because of it. I think he would agree with that. And I think this is a group, especially, I mean, we can come right back to Jeremy Fears. We're going to keep coming back to Jeremy Fears because this guy is different. He can coach him a way that he couldn't coach AJ Hogard. And I think we're going to see that. Another guy, Trey Holloman, that's another guy. He can coach the way he coached Mateen Cleaves. Like, those are guys that he, like, that's the way Coach Izzo's at his best. It's when he's breaking clipboards. Let's just face it. Like, and I don't think he felt he could do that with the last few rosters. And I think it has hurt the team. Obviously it has. We haven't been the same rebounding team. We haven't really been the same defensive team. We haven't really got after it. Like, you haven't really saw the dog come out of people. And I know that comes back to recruiting and the type of kids you're recruiting, but I just look at guys like Jeremy Fears, Trey Holloman, and even Book. I think Book is tougher than people think. I know he's super soft-spoken, but he can take it. I believe his dad's a Marine, too. Like, so he can take it, and he knew what he was getting himself into coming to Michigan State. So he's going to be challenged greatly, too. But that's the way kind of I thought about it. I just thought, like, man, this dude's about to get back to, like, you know, being, you know, the angry Tom Izzo who just gets after his guys, holds them more accountable because – you know, let's just face it. Like, he hasn't been able to do that with some of the, you know, I hate bringing up AJ Hogard all the time, but like, it is what it is. Your point guard is the snake, head of the snake at Michigan State. And, you know, if you can't get in those dudes' grill without them rolling their eyes. And I mean, how many moments did AJ have over the last 3 years where it was just like, man, you know, this is like, you know, and I think it wore on Izzo, and he couldn't, you know, coach him the way he wanted to. And I think this group going forward is a group that he can get back to the roots. So
Go ahead, my bad.
Wait.
Go ahead, you good.
Yeah, I just didn't see it. Like, a lot of people like thought that, like, oh, that meant like I'm going to die trying. Like, I'm going to get all the portal guys. Like, no, I didn't see it that way. I saw, you know, he's going to get back to his roots of coaching really hard and holding guys accountable and getting after it.
And that's where we're going to end off, man. I appreciate you. I needed to hear that. I'm glad that you just dropped that perspective on me because that's exactly what I needed to hear. And like you said, I kind of took it the exact same way for the most part. I think these past few years have been rough, you know, however you want to define that for yourself. But I think, again, Izzo's going to look in that mirror, and he has no other choice but to. And his core that we have coming in as of right now, obviously we're going to have to piece it together with those two transfers, we know. But as of right now, it still looks pretty good. Yeah, we're young. Yeah, but we have a good blend of a little bit of everything. I think we're going to have the defense. I think we're going to have the ball movement. I think we have our floor general, right? So two floor generals at that. Yeah. So I'm very excited to see how this next season plays out. I'm very excited to see how we, you know, get these two transfers. And I honestly think we're not that far off, man. We're really not. I think that's the thing that makes a lot of people angry too, is because even though it feels like it's been terrible, we're still right there. Like, it's not like we've been losing these games the past few years off the marginal things, right? Whether it be a lack of talent, lack of rebounding, you know, a few defensive mistakes right in that K-State game, whatever the key may be, it's only been the little marginal things that they just got to tie together. They got to lock down and say, hey, how do we improve upon this? What do we need to do, right? And so I think, you know, again, when you got a dude like Jeremy Fears at the helm, you have a dude that you know is going to hold everybody accountable. The same thing with Trey Holloman. We heard after the game in North Carolina, he said, we about to go right back home and get in the gym. You'd love to hear things like that. So I think everything's going to work itself out fine. I think Spartan Nation, relax. You know, we're going to be good. I promise y'all, I'm not worried about the state of the program whatsoever. And I think the last thing too, real quick, the reason a lot of people have been upset is because they know that Coach Izzo's time is coming to an end. So we all want to see him get that second national championship, right? Yeah. That's the main thing. And I think right now, this next year is going to be a major building stone getting towards that. So I'm excited, man. And again, I appreciate you for coming on. You got anything else you want to add on to that?
No, man, I know it was a little choppy. I lost service a couple times. Good. Appreciate you having me on. I know you said, you know, it's rough. We had a rough few years, but man, if our rough years are, you know, second round losses or Sweet 16 losses, then I mean, look where we're at. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I do. I feel like it's only up from here, to be honest with you.
Yes, sir, man. As always, it's my guy Tyler Bennett. Please go follow him on Twitter at iBennett for all Michigan State stuff, man. Right there in the heart of Lansing. Appreciate you as always, man. Again, this has been another episode of Talking Hoops with Kev Luke. Y'all have a great one. Y'all have a blessed one. Stay safe out there. Please like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, and share, and all those amazing things. Enjoy the rest of y'all week. Enjoy y'all spring. Stay safe out there. And as always, peace and love gone.